just go on and share. You remember we were talking about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now, if you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, just recapping for those who weren't here, there's nothing else to seek. The mistake of the charismatic movement and the Pentecostal movement is they're all looking for another experience. But you can hardly have more than everything. If you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, it is absurd to seek spiritual blessings that you've already got, to ask God for something that you've already been given. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. He is everything I need. And if Christ be in me, then I have within my being the life of God. And one of the things that the devil has done and preachers do continuously is try to condemn people so they can get them then to try and have an experience which is not godly. If a man's born again, he's born into a new creation, old things are passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God. That's what the Bible says. And yet preachers for years have tried to condemn, pull down, and bring people to a feeling they've got to reach out for something else instead of telling the truth of what they've already got. It's hard to get God to give you something you've already got. We're about telling people what they've got. Good news is telling people, hey, do you know what's really yours? It's not telling people you need an experience. Look, in Christ you have everything. You have redemption. In Christ you are sanctified. He is your sanctification. He is your righteousness. You are forgiven. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree, and you are washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who cleanses from all unrighteousness. You're righteous. You are a son of God. You've been born from above. You have the rights of a son. You have the spirit of the Son. You have the life of the Son. And you have life more abundant. And it's yours. And to start trying to attain to something that you've already got is ridiculous. The just shall live by faith. And if you've got faith in your failure, you'll live in failure. If you've got faith in what God promises and said is done, you'll start living in it. Hello? Oh dear. Hello? Yes. Is that right?
Yes.
You see, one of the things that's happened in life is people have preached and preached and preached, condemned, 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 until people feel, oh, I'm a worm, I am undone. Well, look, God changed you. I can never understand when people say, oh, I thirst after God. I don't. I drank of the living water and he said I'd never thirst again. He said, I'm hungry for God. I'm not. He said, if you eat of the living bread I give you, you'll never hunger. And so I don't either hunger or thirst. I can't understand people that do. They must have lost their way. I mean, either what God says is true or it's just a joke. You know, some people believe poverty is a gift from God. I believe it's a curse from hell. There's nothing good about poverty at all. In fact, Proverbs tell you how it comes. It just comes by a little sitting down, a little folding of the hands. You can become poor mighty quick, can't you, by laziness. You can get up and do something, can't you? You don't have to be down. Jesus came to lift you up. You don't have to grovel in the dirt. That's where the devil lives. on the belly thou shalt go. If you want to be one of those in the dust, eating dust, then it just shows you've got the nature of the devil in you. Jesus called us to stand upon our feet. Rise up. And there's a great difference. I find a lot of Christians prefer to be on the in the gutter or somewhere, and they think somehow there's a great virtue. There's no virtue in being in the gutter. It's no good going to someone who's messed up, their life's messed up, they're filthy, saying, let me help you. And they look at you and think you're dirtier than I am. You're not going to help them much, are you? There's no virtue saying, well, we're all failures, so let's fail together. Who needs a gospel like that? People need a way out of bondage into life. We're to lift them up and tell them, hey, it's easy. I want to share with you a few thoughts going on from that. That's the basis. It was a little longer basis on Friday. But now on Sunday morning, I just want to share some glorious truths with you. You see, to me, every Christian should be the head and not the tail. That's what my Bible teaches. You're going to be the head and not the tail. We're not the tail. We're called to be the head. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that nice? Who's the head of the body? Jesus. That's what you're called to be. You're called to be Christ-like. There's some people who always they're always somehow, I don't know. They've got this idea they're ever so humble. And their humility means groveling. It's not God's way. Let's look in 1 John, first of all. 1 John 1. verse 5 says, this then is the message. Now, if only you could get, this then is the message. We've heard of him. From the 1 John 1 verse 5. Are you all there? This then is the message, isn't it? What is the message that we've heard of him? And declare unto you, what is it? That God is, and in him, if we say that we have fellowship in him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, let me tell you where fellowship comes from. It comes from people that walk in the light. There's one thing for sure. Anyone who walks in the light is in fellowship. Anyone who feels excluded from fellowship excludes themselves by not walking in light. People that feel rejected, they're not rejected. They're only announcing one thing. When someone comes to me and says, people reject me, I say, no, they don't reject you. You see, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If someone feels out of fellowship, excluded, there's only one reason for it. They're just not walking in light. Walking in light has an immediate effect in your life. You automatically are in fellowship with everyone else who's walking in light. And if you're in Christ, there's no darkness at all. You can't do anything but walk in light. And if you walk in darkness, then it says you're a liar. If you say you're walking in light. Because you don't do the truth. And it's what you do in life, not what you say. As I've said so many times before, any person can come into this church on a Sunday morning, They can make all sorts of professions. They can make all sorts of claims. But when they walk out that door, the next 6 days of the week will prove what they are. It's not what they say, it's what you do. You see, you can come in here and you claim to have fellowship. Hey, let me tell you something straight. Fellowship's to do with truth. Fellowship's to do with walking in the light. Fellowship's to do with doing what God says. That's where the Bible puts it at. Simple as that. All you've got to do is whatever he says, do it. That's easy, isn't it? Hello? Isn't that easy? Doing what he says. And so Christians who are truly walking as he walked, living as he lived, are in the light. And if you're in Christ, there's no darkness. I find people that want to hide things. Someone came to me last week or a week ago, said, I didn't feel I could talk to you. The only reason you feel you can't talk to someone is because you've got darkness in you. Hey, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you've got nothing to hide. Openness is a mark of Christianity. Where people are all kind of furtive and hiding and don't like to face things, there's something wrong. You won't come to the light because your deeds are evil. Or the devil's conned you. A number of people think what I'm thinking. I look round the congregation, they say, oh, you looked at me when you said such and such. Well, if they knew me well enough, they'd know without my glasses on, my focus isn't that hot. And I can tell you, I'll only think what God tells me, and he's not a gossip. And if God tells me something about you, it's because he wants to help you. Never harm you. Because he's a God of love. And there's never anything to run from. God is good all the time. He's never against us, he's for us. He's not to knock us down, he's to lift us up. And so don't ever get this kind of feeling, well, somehow God's going to betray. God's not in the betrayal business. That's what the devil does. God's love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And you haven't sinned enough to have a multitude. So there's plenty of love to cover everything you've done wrong. God's not in the exposing business. Devils do that. They came into heaven. Do you remember Satan came and said, what about Job, you know? Well, it's only what he can get out of you. That's why he loves you. The devil's for destroying. God's for lifting up. Devil's for robbing. God's for being on our side. Amen? Let's go on. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John 8. You remember in John 8, there's a woman caught in adultery. She was caught in the very act. Basically, because the men that were around knew where she plied her trade, because probably they had visited her already. So they knew where to catch someone in the very act. And Jesus was around, so they went and dragged the woman out and left the man behind. John 8... verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The one good thing, follow Jesus, and you won't walk in darkness. Now that is a guarantee, not a demand, not a... This is a promise of God. Jesus said, if you'll follow me, you won't walk in darkness. Now, you'll have the light of life. Now, I want to ask some of you, what is life? Life is what you do, isn't it? Live. Huh? So many people limit life, and they limit what Jesus says to spiritual things. But Jesus dealt here with a very practical thing, the way the woman was carrying on. Hello? And then he starts talking about, look, if you walk after me, you won't walk in darkness. In other words, woman, amend your way of life, but if you walk in that way of light and you follow me, you're going to have the light of life. In other words, what God wants to banish from our lives is ignorance. What God wants to banish from our lives is all the things that harm us and hurt us. What God doesn't want to do is deprive us of anything. Light is the thing that will make you the head and not the tail. Light is the thing that will stir your life. Light is the thing that will cause you to triumph. Light is the thing that will give you knowledge. If you go out into life, into business, and you'll walk as Jesus shows you and follow him, you're going to be successful no matter what. Why? Because you're going to be smarter than anyone else because you've got divine wisdom from above. You've got light. You can see what others can't see. You can hear what others can't hear. You can discern what no one else can discern. The reason is you have light, they don't. You have a divine source for all your life. My problem is when I talk to Christians, I find they are spiritual. They somehow want to hide away, have prayer meetings, have this, have that, and they don't realize that Christianity is to do with life. Life isn't in here. This is a substitute for life. We're coming aside to hear the word of God. Life's out there. When you walk out in your daily living, you should excel because you have a divine source of help. Life. Hey, God's on your side. No one else has what you have. You have within you the creator of heaven and earth. There is nothing he doesn't know. I wonder how many times you draw on him when you go into business. I wonder how many times you think, hey. But there's a condition. Simple condition, follow me. You see, it means you can't do your shady deals. Huh? You know, you've got to be straight. Otherwise, sorry, you're walking in darkness, you don't do the truth, you're a liar. I meet lots of liars. There are people with the gift of lying. The father of lies is the devil. The Bible says so. But there are some people who can't help but lie. There's people who they just have the gift of lying. That's the devil's seed. God's the truth, you know. In him there's no lie. The devil's a liar. He speaketh of his own when he lies. And when I meet people who speak like that, they destroy their liars. It's just their gift. They're not children of light. They're children of darkness. So you know where they come from. But you see, for a Christian, the way to be the head, not the tail, is, hey, just a minute, you've got to follow him. If you'll follow him, you've got a source that's going to cause you to rise to the top, and no one can defeat it. You're straight, they're crooked. You're true, they're deceivers. You see, deception only destroys, it never blesses. The devil came to steal, to destroy, and to kill. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what he says. That's the contrast. And if you walk in darkness, all you're going to do is you're going to lie, you're going to steal, you're going to destroy, and you're going to kill. But if you follow him, my goodness me, God's on your side. You're going to prosper. You won't know what to do with all the blessing. You just won't know what. And you'll find God will lead you. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, he's not going to stand still. You'll always go forward. You can't go backwards. He doesn't go back, he goes forward. He takes us on, he never takes us back. And once you're on his way, you have divine help. And divine help is the help you need. Isn't it wonderful to know every business opportunity, if you'll follow Christ, you'll get divine help, and man, you'll be the winner. It just takes a little bit of sense to realize that God is for you. Jesus Christ in the gospel adds, as I said, there's no subtraction in Christianity. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is the giver, never the taker. God wants to give you, bless you, increase you, multiply you. God wants to lift you up. That's the way he is. Man wants to diminish you. Man wants to pull you down, because that's the carnal man. He doesn't like anyone to succeed. World wants to bring into your thinking success is somehow evil. And yet, God gave Solomon, King Solomon, wisdom, and he prospered above all the kings of the earth. Why? He was one of God's people. All right? You understand what I'm saying? It's so lovely. When you look at the scriptures and you see what we've got, Jesus said this. We're back in John 8, verse 12. He spake unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't it wonderful that in any area of your life, any day, you can ask God, say, hey, I need the light of life. I need light on this. I need what you promised I have. I don't know where to go, but I know one thing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Why don't you apply it to your business? Why don't you apply it to your marriage? Solomon had applied a little wisdom to his marriage, he wouldn't have had that many, would he? Probably wouldn't have had any. Why don't you apply it? You know what? People get to the stage where somehow they've got their spiritual life kind of boxed in and life separate. What they do outside the church is separate. Somehow their prayer and their reading is one thing and their life's another. No, it's all one. You don't have to have mental ignorance. People perish for lack of knowledge. You can be smarter than everyone else. Not because you're smarter, but because he has all wisdom. That's what the Bible teaches. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 9. Here, listen to this. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hey, that's great, isn't it? Well, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, you have got to understand, Paul was saying, I want you that you might, verse 9, be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All wisdom. Well, I need to know a lot of things in life. God says there's a divine source that'll fill you greater than any other source. Spiritual understanding. You need to know what is the will of God. You need to know what's the desire of God. If you're in the will of God and you're in the desire of God, you'll have wisdom that can gainsay anyone. The greatest inventions in the world came from Christendom. Our industrial revolution that transformed this land was brought about because the Huguenots were persecuted out of France by Louis XIV and Philip of Spain, and they persecuted the Christians, the people who were moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. They drove them out. They came to England and they brought with them all the expertise, all the skill that God had given them. Because a Christian has a creative knowledge within him that no one else on earth ever has. A Christian has an ability within him to subdue the earth. A Christian has within him an ability to do things that no one else can do. That is why you will find that the Industrial Revolution and the great strides forward in science were always mastered and engineered by Christians, because they had divine revelation and they were gifted with all wisdom. Today you go, and you don't realize this, many of you, but if you go into any maternity unit and you see they use forceps to get babies out, hey, I want to tell you, there was a man who designed that, and guess where he came from? He was a Christian. And that was all those years ago in the time of Louis XIV, and he was smart. He was a Huguenot. And he came and he taught surgery, and he said, if a child's trapped in the womb, you need forceps, and he designed them all. Why? He was more interested in life than death. Christians. Medical science advanced through Christians. Engineering advanced through Christians. Christians are different. Christians took our country forward. This nation sent out more missionaries all over the world. What did we have? We had what was called the British Empire. It was when we followed Christ. More missionaries went out and taught the ways of God than any other nation on earth. America's what it is today because in this country, they persecuted the Christians so much they fled to the Americas. The Americas only have what they've got because of the founding fathers. And let me tell you, they were Christians. Pennsylvania is there because of William Penn. He was one of the first generation of Quakers, full of the Holy Ghost. God filled men with life. Christians. And we have that gift. If you're a Christian, you're born again, you've got a source of supply that no one else on earth has. You've got a divine source on your side. And Paul said, look, I just want to pray that people will take hold of it. That it'll fill them, fill their minds. Not with worldly things, but with godly things. Strengthen them with all might, verse 11. Or verse 10, let's take. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Hey, you're meant to be doing good work. Not bad work. Bad works for the world, good works for God. Pleases God when you succeed. It doesn't please God to see failure. Whatever area of your life, failure is not God's will for your life. Good work is. Success is. God came to lift us up. You'll never be the head by failing. You'll never be the head by being lazy. You'll never be the head by slacking. One of the reasons our children prosper in the school, I'll tell you why they prosper in the school, because it's a Christian school on Christian principle, and the teachers are Christian, and guess what? For a school our size to come seventh in the whole country in A-level results is not bad. Very good. That's all the schools in the country, and they're selective, and we're comprehensive in intake. I'll tell you why we come number seven in the country, because we didn't beat the first six this year. But that does not mean we should sit back and say, well, we're in the top 10, does it? God said we should be the head, not the tail. So why do our children look different? A photographer came, he was going to take photographs. He said, your children look different. They smile. Well, what do children do? They're meant to smile. They're meant to be happy. Said, oh, they're so different. What's different about? I'll tell you what's different about them. When God is in the family, they're different. But let me tell you, there is only one way to live. That's the Jesus way. Jesus hasn't come to deny us anything, separate us from anything. He's come to give us life and life more abundant. He's come to bless us. He's come to do us good. It's the most glorious thing to know we'll always succeed. I love it. I just think, you know, Paul's praying this for the people, you see. Not, you know, if you go to a modern church, the prayer would be this, Lord, keep thy people humble. May they fail with dignity. May they never prosper, lest they prosper so much that they forget you, so keep them poor. And of the pastor, they pray, give them a bicycle. What a terrible attitude, isn't it? God promised us something better. And look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son? Where do you live? In the kingdom of light. Upside down kingdom of God, isn't it? Amen? We're in. And you look and you think, well, you know, the world looks at us and they think, well, what is it about them? They're exclusive. Yeah, we are exclusive. You better believe we're exclusive. Of course we're exclusive. If people walk in light, they have fellowship with us. If they don't walk in light, they just can't manage to fellowship with us. That's exclusion. They've excluded themselves by the way they live. If they walked in light, they'd be happy. If they walk in darkness, they don't do the truth. Is that plain? Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Stand up. Stand up, hold your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2. You've got to stand for this. You stand in the presence of royalty. See? It says, but ye. Leave out the but, and instead of ye, say I. I am a what? I am. What are you? That's what you are. You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. That's what you are. You're not some backstreet kind of little group that, hey, you've got something to be proud of. God says, look, there's a rock of stumbling. If you look just a verse up, it says, verse 8, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offence is Christ, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But you, you're a chosen priesthood. You're not in that part that don't obey the word. You're not in that part that live offended at Christ. You're not in that part that stumble over the truth of God. You're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. That's what you are. Glory to God. There are those that stumble. There are those that take offense. But that's not you. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God says. He'll say, oh, but I feel I can't. Well, shut up. God can. You are. Why? Because God made you that. God has made you a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What? A holy nation. I tell you what, all over the earth, our brother Stephen, he comes from Northern Ireland, Belfast. Hey, we're a chosen generation. We're the generation of Jesus Christ. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. Why? You're the chosen generation. You're the royal priesthood. You're priests and kings to your God. You might not be priests and kings to the world, but you are to God. And what God says about you is more important than what man says about you. Amen? I love it. This is good, isn't it? Hey? A peculiar people, that means God's own people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Glory to God. You're out of darkness. You're out of those things. You're in his marvelous light. That means you're wonderful. Your name shall be called. Put your hand on your chest. This morning I'm wonderful.
This morning I'm wonderful.
God says so.
God says so.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I just think that is good news, isn't it?
Yes.
That's God's opinion. His name shall be called
Wonderful.
Counselor, the mighty God. Hey, God lives in me. That's why sometimes they ran after the apostles and they thought they were gods. I tell you, he said, no, it's not our power that did this great thing. Not our holiness. It's Jesus. He lives in us. We're partakers of the divine nature. We're partaking of this life. Glory to God. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who are you? We're the people of God. That's who we are. What are you at Penal? We're the people of God. That's what we are. Glory to God. Ordained of God. And then he goes on, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen? Amen. Now's the time. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? I don't have a past. You don't have a past. You have a glorious present and a wonderful future. Because all your sin was washed away. Glory to God, it's gone. You don't have a pastor. That's why I can't do sit down. But isn't that good? If only I could get Christians to believe what God says about them and what they really have in Christ. If you could believe that, you'd look at life with a different perspective. When I used to work, I say I used to work, when I had a job out selling, and I was selling, I remember one time I went in there, and they used to say of me, if I fell in a sewer, I'd come up smelling of roses. So would every Christian. I mean, you know, no bad smell can stick to you. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. Amen? Anyway, one time, I think I've told you, they said it was impossible to get business 1 month. So I took it as a challenge that I'll do more than anyone's ever done this month. Why did I take it as a challenge? Because God's on my side. See, I just can't bear anyone trying to tell me that I can't have the wisdom to do what God says I can do. It's wrong. God's on my side. Good works come from God. God's always going to cause me to triumph. In everything, he gives us the victory. They said, you can't. I said, I can. I'll prove it. Oh, said one of them, I suppose you're going to go and pray. I said, I don't have to pray. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I took the challenge, I tell you, at the end of the month, I did more than anyone else had ever done. Company record for 1 month, in the worst month of the year, just to show God can do anything. Do you know what my manager did? He said, if you can do it 1 month, why don't you do it every month? I said, my Bible says, tempt not the Lord thy God. I won't jump off a cliff for another man, but I'll do it if God tells me to. In Colossians 1, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Do you know, that's what people get moved away from. It's the hope of the gospel. That's where the devil moves people away. You see, it's amazing how many people believe for forgiveness of sins, believe for deliverance, believe what Christ did on Calvary's tree, know their sins were forgiven, rejoice in it, and then they get moved away from it. Suddenly someone comes along and says, just a minute, you've got to be entirely sanctified. Just a minute, you've got to be this, you've got to be that. And all of a sudden it's by works you're saved, not through faith. All of a sudden they get you into legalism and religion and away from Christ. But what is the hope of the gospel? When I see him, I'm going to be like him. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Glory to God. Hey, I know my hope is built in the fact of what Christ did 2,000 years ago. Ah, it's lovely. Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, who am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me of you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, who we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What a ministry. Hey, this isn't trying to scrape people through into the kingdom. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. This is saying we're going to present them perfect. That's a better gospel, isn't it? Warning every man and teaching every man in what? All wisdom. There was something about the early church that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me. Hey, it's the working of God in you. I strive according to his working. Look, what I hear the Father do, that's what I do. What I see the Father do, that's what I do. What I hear the Father say, that's what I say. You've got to get into a place of walking in light. You've got to get to the place where you realize you're children of light. You're a royal priesthood. Hey, God wants you to succeed in everything. Whatever you set your hand to do, do it with all your might. And the might you have is God working in you. The secret that's been hid from generations is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The power of God working in you. All wisdom given to you. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There's nothing on this earth that you can't do. You have the creative power of the Creator living within your being. You have God inside of you. You have the very Christ of God inside of you. You have all wisdom. You have what God says you have. Don't ever let anyone tell you you haven't. Don't limit your potential. Don't limit yourself by this kind of arrogant sense of humility. I'm your humble servant. Get up! You're not. You're a priest. You're a holy nation. That's what God says of you. And if you have humility, you'll confess it. It's not humble to confess defeat and failure. That is sin. It is arrogance to turn against God and say you're wrong. Humility is to obey him. If you're a holy nation, live it. If you're a royal priesthood, live like it. Don't live like some pauper. Don't live like a beggar on the street. When you pray, beg. Don't you dare beg. Stand up Rise up inside. Say, I'm what God says I am. That's easy, isn't it? Terrible, the wrong kind of Christianity. That groveling, moaning, wretched, lacking faith. Oh, life's hard. Oh, is it just struggle? You don't walk in light. That's why it's hard for you. You obey God, it'll be easy. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. He's right, you're wrong. Glory to God. I mean, this is in the book, isn't it? Oh, but my circumstances. Your circumstances will change the moment you accept what God says about you. In the same way 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for you on Calvary's tree. Your circumstances changed when you believed it. When my heart first believed, didn't? That's when you changed, isn't it? When it suddenly came alive to you that he took all your, you changed. When you start and you suddenly begin to believe what God says about you and you stop your sniveling, groaning self-condemnation and self-abnegation and self-stupidity and self-wretchedness and self-driveling and self-centeredness and self-humility and self-groveler. Ugh. And you begin to say, what does God say? Shake yourself off of all your self things. Deny yourself, said Jesus. Take up your cross. Follow me. Holy nation. Royal priesthood. Glory to God. Put off the old. Put on the new. Walk in newness of life. That's easy, isn't it? But you don't understand. I want to live as a miserable wretch. I like it like that. There are some people that love to play in the dirt. I know some kids that like to play in the garden and dig up worms and eat them. Their parents get somewhat concerned. Naturally. That's not the way they want their children to live. They race down the garden. Don't you do that? And they drag them out the mud and they get them up into the house. They sit them down and they give them a chocolate biscuit. And they say, look, kid, that's better than a worm. Why? Because they shouldn't be in the mud, should they? Why are Christians groveling? Why is it when he set before our enemies a table, in the presence of our enemies, that we could feast? Why is it we want to go down the garden and find the dirtiest old worm? And then identify with a worm. I'm a worm. So I better eat one. I'm a royal priesthood, holy nation. I'm alive in God. God lives in me. Amen. All wisdom and knowledge. Glory to God. What a life. What a difference. John 14, John's Gospel. I'm going back to Colossians 2. I can't miss this one. I left one out. Colossians chapter 2. Look at this. Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto whom all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you want to know where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are? They're in Christ. Hey, he created heaven and earth. Everything that's here, everything that exists, I want to tell you, all the wisdom and treasures are hidden in God. He knows them. And you as a Christian have a right to ask him for them. You have a right to find out. Because all wisdom and knowledge is hidden in him. And he lives in you. Do you believe that? I mean, it excites me. It excites me.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, I think it's wonderful.
Yes.
To know you're a royal priesthood.
Yes.
To know that you're a chosen generation. To know that you're a city, a nation of God. Whoa. Glory to God. To know that all wisdom and knowledge in him is in you. Glory to God. God's made us alive in him. Amen. Let's go then quick to one more. John 14. How about this one? Verse 23, eyes down, John 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him, with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. He shall teach you. You know, it's good when a man realizes that it doesn't limit it. He says he'll teach you all things, and then not only will he teach you all things, but also he shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In other words, he's worried that what he teaches you, you might forget. Whatever he said is going to be brought to your memory. So you walk out of here, and someone says, yeah, you don't go lecture, I'm a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We know what we are. We're the people of God. God's raised us up. Glory to God. We're not ashamed. You need it brought to your memory sometimes, don't you? You need to be jerked out of your slumber. Glory to God, we have an answer for the hope that's in us. God's on our side. Amen?
Amen?
You know, that's the way it is. That's what the book teaches. Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all. Now, is there anything in all things that's left out? It's amazing how many people will read that only as the things of God. But hey, God's concerned with life, and life's more than just the things of God, isn't it?
Yes.
When I get outside, when I do things, when I get in business, when I get in home, when I get in family, I need to learn a lot. I've got the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. He's going to teach me all things. God's promise is far greater than, oh, you know, just receive the Holy Ghost, you can speak in tongues. And I go, Holy Ghost has come to teach us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And everything pertains to life and godliness. Everything in your life God's concerned about. He wants to give you wisdom in all things. Glory. Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
And then he says, I'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said. So in other words, if he speaks to you and you forget it, he'll bring it to your memory. Say, well, I've not got a good memory when I learn. Well, you don't need a good memory. You've got a prompter here. He's called the Holy Ghost. So I can forget so quickly. My short-term memory isn't good. Well, you've got a God with a long-term memory. And he lives in you. You've got the mind of Christ. Amen? That's better. Holy Ghost blessing, this is. See, people have limited it. They've limited it to a little narrow margin. One more. Ephesians chapter 3. It's kind of filled me, this morning. I was thinking about this. Glory to God. Look at this. You have to stand for this one. This one's too important. I'm finishing here. This is the one I'll finish on. Ephesians chapter 3. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 3. You're there. Verse 16, he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, not by sense, not by feeling, by faith. God says it, I believe it. Amen. Not by experience, by faith. Too many people are seeking experiences, move out of faith. Go by feelings and sense knowledge instead of word knowledge. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now that is the love of Christ for you, not your love for him. First love is how much he loves you. Don't ever get caught out by these people saying, how much do you love him? We love him because he first loved us. And you need to know how much he loves you before you can ever love him. Look, I live by faith. If I lived by feelings, I'd tell you, it wouldn't be faith. And your feelings change from day to day, don't they? You get up some mornings and you're supercharged. You get up other mornings and the charge is gone. You know, it's your kind of, I don't know, your biorhythm, I suppose, or whatever they call it. Is that right? I'm not, you know, it sounds all right. There's some mornings when you can get up and you could run 100 miles. There's other mornings when you can get up and you can just about hit the floor with your foot. Oh, that's painful. I mean, that's your feelings, isn't it? And if you live by feeling in Christianity, you're lost. By faith, you say, through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. How many people go to churches and they try and make you feel bad? They try and create a problem in your life, and then you go to the front, grovel, and they'll succeed in getting rid of it for you. Thank you. What they created is a myth, and what they cured is a myth. So you're living in mythology. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Write it on the mirror. Every morning when you look, it's better you don't see your face. Just see this scripture. Your face might frighten you. Unless it's a good day. Glory. Oh, I love this. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is a breadth, length, and height, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hey, what about that? Not just a little bit of God, not a dribble from the tap, not a here's my cup, I lift it up. This is all the fullness of God. Glory, is there any more than all his fullness? Oh, but it gets better. Now, when?
Now.
When?
Now.
When?
Now.
Go on, read it out loud. Believe it. Now. Whoa! What's it according to?
The power that worketh in us.
Whose power?
His power.
That works
in us.
Now, unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. I can't think or ask enough of God. And he'll do it according to the power that works in us. Glory to God. Why? Because we've been filled with all the fullness of God. That's why. Whoa! A Christian is surely a chosen people, a holy nation. We've got all the fullness. Can you get any more than all the fullness? Power works in us. All the fullness of God. Amen?
Amen.
Unto him be, go on. Amen! And now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. Amen?
Amen.
What a promise of God. You might be filled with all the fullness of God. Glory. How can you be reaching out for another gift? You know, I need something more. I don't need something more. I need to start living in what I've got, don't I?
Yes.
All the fullness of God. I need to start walking in the light. I need to start living by the power of an endless life. He's working in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Glory. What a gospel. Glory to God. Well, you know, I could go on. So that's the last one. Isn't that good?
Yes.
You've been blessed with Glory to God. Now unto him who's able to do above all that we could ask or think. Do you know one of the problems with Christians is they're so small in their vision, so small in their mind. They think that God can't help them in the mundane things of life. They never bother to ask him. You have not because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you ask to consume it on your own lust. You always got the wrong motive. But oh, for those who walk in the light, hey, we're a royal priesthood, holy nation. Glory to God. God's working in us. We've got all the fullness of God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Put your hand on your chest. Father, I just pray for each one here. Lord, let the word of life sown in their heart this day bear fruit. Lord, don't let the enemy whip it out of their life, and don't let the cares of this world choke it. Let the seed of God bear forth fruit 100-fold in every heart, I pray. Let us be what you intend us to be, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Let us walk in the light as you're in the light. Lord, I just pray this day for each one here. I curse every disease, every sickness, every bondage in the name of Jesus. Lord, I curse it and break its power. Let life flow to each one. You sent forth your word and you healed them. Lord, let us know that whatever we ask, you're able to do exceeding abundantly more than that. And we have been filled with all the fullness of God. We have everything we need for life. Lord, cause us to walk in it from this day on. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, when I get reading those scriptures, it gets me excited.